Good morning, Connecticut, and to our friends across the sound. It's John Vocat, Director of Public Affairs for Connoisseur Media. Thanks for tuning into our award-winning public affairs program, For the People, bringing you even more information to help address concerns in our communities tied to youth, the economy, public health and safety, aging, education, and the environment. This morning, we're replaying the second of a two-part series we did in early July, where we created a radio guidebook to your Social Security Administration. Then we'll bring you an encore of a program on Connecticut's Parent Leadership Training Institute. The 2016 PLTI is currently seeking parents who are looking to play a greater role in their community and their own families. So listen in and see if the PLTI has something to offer for you. Then we'll wrap up with an important and information-packed chat with a representative from Access Health CT, the state's health insurance marketplace. Open enrollment is happening now, so if you're uninsured or you're looking to explore what Connecticut's health insurance marketplace may have for you and your family, stick with us for that interview. We'll be back with these segments and more on the award-winning For the People with me, John Vocat, right after this news. Griffin Hospital's Valley Parish nurses are encouraging individuals to be a hero for their friends and family in 2016 by offering free CPR training throughout the year. Family and Friends CPR is a non-certifying course that teaches the basics of adult and child CPR and relief of a foreign body object choking. Infant skills will be offered at the end of the program for those who wish to learn those additional skills. The course is offered on Saturday, January 16th, and then on the third Saturday of every month from 10 to noon for the rest of the year. Registration is required, however, as space is limited. Call 203-732-1337 to sign up, or for more information, go to griffinhealth.org. Well, we hope you joined us last week on the 4th of July weekend when we kicked off our radio handbook on Social Security and what Social Security is in this 21st century, as well as helping to celebrate the 80th anniversary of Social Security, which is happening in August of this year. As we were last week, we're joined by Robert Rodriguez. He's the Metropolitan Public Affairs Specialist for Boston Region Area 1, Social Security Administration, serving Connecticut, Rhode Island, and parts of Massachusetts. Robert, thanks for coming back and joining us again on the program.
John, it's my pleasure. We're always looking for opportunities to provide information and inform the public, you know, of what Social Security is and just to dispel any myths that may be out there.
So as we sort of said in the intro and touched upon last week, your agency is not exclusively for old folks. It's not just about retirement. There's so much more to Social Security that so many people really don't think about until they need it or they're told they're entitled to it in terms of services. So let's start off this week's conversation with a reminder about your My Social Security program on the web.
All right, fantastic. I mean, mentioned last week, I mean, we cut across the board to everybody, you know, anybody from somebody who's young to somebody who's older. At some point in time, Social Security is going to have an impact on an individual's life. If you've worked, you've been paying into the system, you know, there is a payoff. And obviously, I think more and more people nowadays have a curiosity in terms of what Social Security is going to offer. But the biggest thing that we have right now is what's called our Someday campaign. And, you know, basically, again, the Someday campaign is, you know, someday you may want to retire. Someday within your book, mm-hmm. you may want to go skydiving. You may want to, you know, enter a hot dog eating contest or whatever. And in terms of being able to retire, we ask a person, are you ready for that? Then what you want to do is you want to get what's called the My Social Security account at our website at www.socialsecurity.gov. It allows you to estimate for your future benefits. It allows you to, you know, to plan for your retirement and how to save. And if somebody is already receiving benefits from us, John, at the same time, when they set up this My Social Security account, now they can kind of manage them online. They're able to get a 1099. They could change their address. They could start and stop their direct deposit. It's extremely easy to do. A person visits a website. They click on the link. You have to answer a set of questions, and your information basically has to match with what we have internally in our records. Once you can get past those, you then create a username, and we already have around 18.5 million people who have signed up. And again, obviously, you know, we're trying to get more people to sign up. And once you create a username, then you create a password. We ask you a set of security questions, and then, you know, you basically, you're in. The account basically is the equivalent to the Social Security statement that we used to mail out years ago. It's pretty much the exact same thing. It's going to have your name, your date of birth, the years that you worked, how much you paid in the Social Security, and then it's going to provide you the critical pieces of information that you want to know about. You know, how much will I get in retirement? What if I were to become disabled? How much would I get from Social Security? And also, if I were to pass away, how much would my survivors get?
Very good. So much available online, and as you mentioned last week, the Social Security Administration's website is an award-winning location for people to go, and that's undoubtedly because of how easy it helps. It makes getting the information and getting through and connecting with services that are required. So that's an excellent resource for folks to know about, socialsecurity.gov, to get you started. We also wanted to revisit and talk a little bit more deeply about the retirement estimator. I guess this is one of the most popular clicks on the socialsecurity.gov website.
Yes, right. Once a person does end up getting their My Social Security statement, the statement as the one in the past, the paper version, if you will, it would basically give you how much you would get at age 62, how much you would get at your full retirement age, and then how much you would get at age 70. But some people want to know, well, how much would I get at 63 or 64, 65? By going into this retirement estimator, what it allows you to do is it allows you to get those figures, and you basically have to punch in some information, punch in your information. It just has to match up with what we have, and it allows you to kind of to manipulate it a little bit so that you can get a better idea, and it'll give you those dollar figures in between. It really is one of the more key links that we have, you know, on the website, and anybody who is planning for retirement, be it they're 5 years out or maybe 10 years out, now would be a good time to take advantage of that. So, again, you can have a grid, and you can have at least a graph in terms of, okay, this is kind of what I'm looking at. And if a person is targeting, for example, June of 2017, you pretty much can get a good, clear idea in terms of, you know, what you're looking at in terms of what you're going to get from Social Security.
Excellent. Folks, if you just tuned in, we're about halfway through the second half of our radio handbook on Social Security. We're with Rob Rodriguez. He's a Metropolitan Public Affairs Specialist with Boston Region Area 1 of the Social Security Administration, serving Connecticut, Rhode Island, and part of Massachusetts. So, Robert, in the last few minutes that we have with you, I thought I would just throw out some frequently used terms and let you respond to what those things are. It's not like a game show. You already know the answers.
Sure.
But a lot of people that are listening may not. So let's let people know when they hear the term Medicare disability. What's that all about?
Well, basically, those would actually be in two different categories. One is the disability program itself. There's specific requirements a person has to have, you know, recent work. There's a lot of factors a person for disability basically has to be unable to return to their own job or expected to be disabled at least a year or more. And in terms of for Medicare, again, there's maybe about five different ways in which a person can qualify for Medicare. And the most common would be somebody who's at age 65. If you've been receiving disability benefits from us for 24 months, you'd be entitled to Medicare. And, you know, there's a lot of factors with both programs, John. Medicare, I mean, with Social Security disability, we do take a look at a person's age, your education, your work history, what kind of things you can and cannot do. It's a little involved, but, you know, the payoff is if you end up getting approved, you end up getting usually 100% of what you're due from us.
Right. And once again, for deeper information and finding out if it's right for you or if you qualify or which you qualify for, you go to socialsecurity.gov and get started there.
Yes, correct. And another just quick piece of advice, I always tell the person, you know, don't listen to Cousin Eddie or Uncle Joe.
Right.
Your best bet is to get information directly from the horse's mouth. And, you know, again, we do have everything on the website from pretty much from A to Z.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could just quickly talk about retirement, again, you know, one of the key things, most people associate Social Security with retirement. And those who are, you know, on the cusp or thinking about it, you're a couple years out, you know, take advantage of what we have, you know, online. You visit the website, you can apply online in about 15 minutes. You can do a lot of pre-advanced planning and ask us information because our doors are always open.
Great. How about survivor's benefits? What's that?
And survivor's benefits, pretty much, you know, we recognize that, again, you know, not everybody makes it to 62 happy and healthy. There's a lot of different categories in which a person could potentially, you know, qualify for a survivor benefit. So in a husband and wife situation, you know, if the husband passes away, the wife may be entitled to get a widow's benefit, which may be higher than her own. In some cases, you do have, you know, parents, either a mother or father, who may, you know, tragically pass away, sometimes at a young age, and they have young children behind. Mm. These young children, for example, would be entitled to get monthly benefits on a parent's record if the parent worked. And, again, another category would be if you were, say you were married at one time and you got divorced, and then your ex-husband or wife passes away, you could potentially have some eligibility there.
Okay. Very good. And finally, SSI, Supplemental Security Income. We hear that SSI slapped around a lot when we're talking about issues related to Social Security. What is Supplemental Security Income?
Okay, basically, SSI, or Supplemental Security Income, is a needs-based program that, you know, Social Security administers. And the main principle qualifying factors would be if you're age 65 or older, if you're blind or disabled at any age, and you have to have limited income and resources. And it is a rote process for us. When you make an inquiry here regarding, you know, disability or another program, we will usually ask you about the SSI program because we want to find out whether or not you may have some eligibility for the program. We try to close out every single avenue in terms of when you come here, let's look at every and all possibilities of what you're entitled to or anybody else in your family member is going to be entitled to. And the SSI program, again, is, you know, it's a needs-based program. A lot of people here in the state and across the country receive the program because, you know, we recognize people's work situations are different. Not everybody's had an opportunity to work 30, 35 years.
Sure. Very good. Great information, again, as it was last week from you, Robert. We really appreciate you taking the time to help this sort of crash course or our little radio handbook on Social
sure.
Security in these two-part segments here, which we'll probably replay before the end of August, which once again is the 80th anniversary of Social Security. In the last moment or two that we have with you, we just want to remind folks that there are Social Security Administration offices throughout Connecticut, but the way to get started in finding out virtually anything you might want to know is going to the award-winning website, socialsecurity.gov, or also if you don't like doing the electronic thing and you like to get a voice on the phone, Robert, is there one 800 number that they would call that's specific to Connecticut or a national number that will get them to Connecticut services?
It's a national number, and it's 1-800-772-1213.
Excellent. Robert Rodriguez, as we said, is the Metropolitan Public Affairs Specialist, one of several in his group serving Boston Region Area 1 Social Security Administration, which takes into account all the folks here in Connecticut, Rhode Island, and parts of Massachusetts. Robert, it's been great to meet you and great getting all this information about Social Security. I learned a lot. I hope our listeners did. And we will keep your name in our Rolodex here and call you again in the event we have questions about Social Security. So thanks for your resource. And now we're checking in with some other old friends over at the Connecticut Council on Children. We're pleased to be joined by Dawn Homer Boothiet. She is the Director of Family Engagement and Parent Leadership for the Connecticut Council on Children. And I'm so happy to know that just a few days ago, 270 Connecticut parents received diplomas at the Legislative Office Building in Hartford. These parents are from Bloomfield, Bridgeport, Danbury, Hamden, Middlesex, Essex County, Milford, Naugatuck, New Britain, New Haven, Plymouth, Waterbury, Wyndham, Stratford, and West Hartford. They are all the most recent graduating class of the Parent Leadership Training Institute, PLTI, a civic leadership initiative of the Connecticut Commission on Children. And we have celebrated these parents before. We'll be talking to a couple of them in just a little while. But right now, let's talk to Dawn. Dawn, congratulations. This wheel keeps rolling on, and it seems to be getting better every cycle.
Yeah, this was by far our largest celebration. We had 17 classes across the state of Connecticut, and we had, as you said, 270 graduates. So we filled the entire floor of the Legislative Office Building atrium last night with parents.
Yeah, well, we have been PSAing the Leadership Training Institute for quite a long time, year round, essentially. So every few weeks, we'll put a few mentions on our network of stations soliciting folks to join the next class. So I hope at least a few of them heard about it on our program. So,
well, that's great, because you can never have too many parents that are engaged at any level.
Right. So as before we went on the air, you know, you sort of joked with me because I said, you know, our earlier segment went from children and incarceration issues with the ACLU to now parenting. And you corrected me saying, you know, it's not just about parenting. It's really about leadership. So let's talk a little bit about how this initiative takes individuals who are already good and engaged parents and really converts them into leaders, so that, you know, kind of a teach a man to fish philosophy, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. You know, it's a fairly intense process. It's 88 hours of instructions and a community project that they develop themselves, that they're passionate about. So we start with a little bit of parent as leader in the home, because we do set strong examples for as role models for our children growing up. And then we look internally about what we learned about power and what we believe our core values are. And then we create a common vision of what we want for our kids in our home community. So we kind of stretch that out to the neighborhood and to the school and to the community. And that's probably the journey in the first 10 weeks of the class. And then the second 10 weeks, it's really a civics toolkit. We are talking about how to advocate, who to call if you have potholes in your roads, how the state budget gets developed, how to work with the media, things like that to get your word out. And so what we do is help parents find a passion that perhaps they've buried because, you know, they're busy with the kids, or they're still finishing school, or they've got work commitments they have to keep. And so we give people both the right and the responsibility to revisit that, mm-hmm. and to bring that passion into the room with 20 other people from their community who really care about kids. And it's just, you know, it's just such an energizing experience for people. No one walks into the room the same when they're done. Everybody has a transformational experience.
One of the components of the PLTI that I really, really love is that, a lot of parents, it's like with kids, when you say something about their mother, the fists go up. With parents, when you say something about their kids, a switch goes off in many of them, and sometimes they not only don't say things they really mean, they perhaps unfortunately say things they mean the wrong way. And mm-hmm. this program actually teaches them how to channel that concern or perhaps that negative energy into the proper delivery and diplomacy to achieve optimal results.
Right. We talk about knowledge and passion a lot in the class, and we also talk about that delivery aspect. We have an entire class on communication, and people leave with a little mantra that's keep your I over your E. So use your intellect and keep it over your emotion. Let intellect guide your conversation. That is really hard when you're passionate about an issue, whether it's bullying or, you know, overrepresentation of minority youth and juvenile justice, whatever the parents are passionate about, it's really hard to kind of contain that in a 3-minute perspective so that you can make an impact. So we help people decide how they define the problem and also what they make for recommendations for change. So it's a little bit of both.
And how does the peer-on-peer dynamic work? I got to imagine that that the parents are learning as much from each other as they are from the instructors.
Absolutely. I mean, it is a learning classroom. Everybody brings their skills to the table, and everybody shares. So there's a class, for example, on media, and one of the folks in the room is a director of communications. So they might help instruct that class. We have somebody else who's an expert on, human services budgeting. And so during our discussions on the state budget, they bring in to the whole conversation how it works at the local level with nonprofit agencies. And so it really do kind of level the playing field for folks as they come in with parents. Doesn't mean they leave their skill set outside the door, but it flows into the curriculum really nicely. It's an individual leadership journey, and everybody's on it, the facilitators included.
Excellent. Well, before we split from you, Dawn, and talk to our other guests this morning after our break, I did want you to drill in. I know it's like trying to pick amongst your favorite children, but for a couple of the civic projects,
yep.
I saw one in Danbury where a parent advocated for an air conditioner in their special needs a child's classroom. But what were a couple of snapshots of other projects that were kind of impressive?
Well, in that particular case, this was the first year we ran a Spanish pilot for PLTI in Danbury, and that particular person is an ELL parent, so she had some other issues where she had to kind of work through how to express herself in a way not only could people hear her message, but hear her because of her language skills. And so that was one of the ones that was actually finished during the course of the 20-week class. We had, for example, in the East Hartford class that we did, we had several parents who all had children with some form of special needs. So they got together and decided that they didn't have a SEPTA, a special ed PTA. So they developed that as a result of their conversations and their networking during the class. We have folks doing book drives. We have folks doing food bank drives. We have folks working on getting stoplights installed at dangerous intersections. We have folks working on pesticide-free lawns. We have folks doing food classes and after-school programs at their local middle schools. There's a whole range. It's whatever the parent has their passion. That's what feeds the community projects.
Excellent. Well, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to go to talk to the West Hartford PLTI coordinator, and we'll talk a little bit about orienting parents who might want to be part of the next program on how to do that and what to expect. And then we'll talk to a parent herself about her experience as a recent graduate of the Parent Leadership Training Institute. But for now, we'll bid you farewell. Dawn Homer-Boothiat is the Director of Family Engagement and Parent Leadership for the Connecticut Council on Children. Their organization and the Parent Leadership Training Institute just graduated 270 parents from across Connecticut, including the first bilingual course in the Danbury area. Congratulations, Dawn, and I can't wait to come back and talk to you after the next graduation about another group of great parent leaders that you folks are helping generate here in Connecticut. So we'll come back after the break, but thanks for being part of our kickoff here. Do you love Connecticut? If you do, there are hundreds of nonprofit agencies, community groups, and grassroots causes that would love to have your support. You can learn about many of them through Love CT. Just go to our radio station website, hit the event guide tab, and click on to Love CT to help the many causes supported by Connoisseur Media. I'm Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. We'll be back to the award-winning For the People right after this news. Acts 4 Ministry in Waterbury, a non-denominational, nonprofit charitable organization, and New Opportunities are accepting donations of coats and winter accessories for children, women, and men to be distributed on Martin Luther King Day at the New Opportunities Martin Luther King Day of Service clothing giveaway. The organization partners with churches, social service agencies, and public schools to identify and serve people with these needs in the context of the broader community, regardless of faith, race, creed, or national origin, or even their willingness to participate in religious activities. If you'd like a listing of current Acts 4 Ministry donation needs, drop-off locations, and information about how they'll come out and make bulk donation pickups, visit acts4.org. That's ACTS, the number 4. We are back talking about the recent crop of graduates from the round of Parent Leadership Training Institute courses. These 270 parents came from all over Connecticut to the Capitol earlier this week or just a few days ago for their graduation. We have celebrated PLTI for quite a while here on our award-winning For the People. We are now tapping Tammy Exum for some information. She's the West Hartford PLTI coordinator. And so, Tammy, we're leaning on you to sort of talk to all of the parents who have not heard of or who haven't had an opportunity to try to participate in Parent Leadership Training Institute. Tell us a little bit about the nuts and bolts, the application process, you know, what to expect, and how you make it easy for parents to, you know, designate the substantial amount of time and effort to become graduates of this program.
Thank you so much for having me on today.
Sure.
One of the things that we do is we, in addition to getting information into our local newspaper and submitting flyers to the schools and making sure they're distributed to the schools and local areas, public areas within our community, we host something that we call a PLTI taster in the fall, which is an opportunity for people who are interested in the program to come and experience a little bit of what the program will be like for them once they, if they choose to become enrolled and are selected through the selection process. And that typically occurs in the Family Resource Center at Charter Oak Elementary School, Charter Oak International Academy. And we have the facilitators and some guest speakers come in. They run through one of the activities that they would do or something similar to an activity that they would do as parent leaders. And then we have alumni there as well who speak about their experience, their community projects and areas of interest. And that gives a real good example of what to expect. And from that process, typically we have the applications ready right there for people who are interested in applying on the spot. But all the other sources of information that we send out will give contact information. Our best tool, really, is people who come in and word of mouth from our alumni and other people who have experienced the impact of individuals who have graduated or been through the program.
That's fantastic. So what will applicants who are coming in the fall, what will they expect? There's food served, I guess, and
childcare. So what happens is, what we do with the application process is once the applications are all received, we set up in interviews for each candidate so that they will have an opportunity to ask questions and learn more details about the program. At that point, we really go through the schedule, and it is 20 weeks with the both graduations included. In addition to the takeaway for the program being that we have a community project based on the candidate's area of interest that we expect each person to at least have initiated or have it written in some format, initiated. Some people, depending on what it is, may have implemented theirs by the end of graduation. And so we discuss these elements, and we talk about the way that the sessions are structured. So when we begin, we have a retreat that begins on a Saturday, and it is about 6 hours, full-day retreat. We have childcare, breakfast, and lunch for all of the participants, and that's a really critical part of the program. And if that's something that parents can't commit to, it really is not the time for them to participate, only because it's the bonding experience, really getting the cohesiveness of the group at that point. And then they will meet on Thursday, well, in West Hartford we meet on Thursdays, but one evening of the week we have a community dinner where everyone comes in and has dinner for us it's 5:30 to 6 p.m. And the entire family can come. So we have sometimes the entire family, the fathers, if the mothers aren't participating, will come. On occasion, we've had both mother and father participate, and they eat with their children. And then the children go down to this wonderful child care that we have provided. They have a great space at Conard High School that allows them to really have a nice time. And then the parents focus in and get started on the program, and we meet from 6 until 9 p.m. And even though it is quite a time commitment, it becomes a ritual. The children bonded particularly well this year. The family is bonded. I mean, the community of parent leaders become bonded and tight, and it becomes another community, and you look forward to seeing them each week. And believe it or not, the time really does pass pretty quickly.
Fantastic. Well, we also want to make sure we have enough time to talk to one of your graduates, Brooke Daly, who's going to sort of give us the frontline perspective of one of the parents among these many, many hundreds of folks who graduated just recently from the latest round of the Institute. But you also get huge cred and props from our Connoisseur Network, Tammy, because without people like you who get in there to make it happen, the Parent Leadership Training Institute would not be enjoying the level of success and traction that it appears to be getting here in Connecticut. So thank you for your great work. Tammy Exum headed up the West Hartford PLTI course for this latest round of graduates here in Connecticut. So we appreciate you being part of the show.
Thank you. My pleasure. And Brooke is terrific.
In the last few moments that we have on the program, we are going to one of those hundreds and hundreds of graduates of the Parent Leadership Training Institute, a graduate of Tammy Exum, who we just hung up with. Brooke Daly is with us. She is from the West Hartford Parent Leadership Training Institute class. Brooke, thanks for taking a few minutes to tell us your perspective.
Absolutely.
So first of all, from the classroom, I just wanted to talk to you briefly about two things. So for a couple of minutes, just tell us a little bit about what the special, most special couple of moments were for you, or maybe some aha moments that you experienced during the classroom portion of the Institute.
Right. Well, I mean, I'll say when I had first attended just an informational meeting to see what the whole program was about, and I knew right away that it was something that I was greatly interested in. And then when I joined the class, I just very quickly, I feel very fortunate that I knew right off the bat what my project was going to be. I have a son with special needs. He has Down syndrome. So I knew that was going to be my focus, but I really didn't have a plan. I had no idea how to put it together, what direction to go to, and just the clear, concise direction we were given, the support from all my classmates, you know, as far as just saying, just the support alone was huge in them constantly saying, you can do it. Yes, that's a great idea. Well, maybe that's not such a great idea. You should try this approach instead. You know, don't get discouraged. Mm. Just wonderful. Mm-hmm.
And what was your community project?
My community project is something called Rise Up for Down Syndrome, which is basically just awareness and acceptance for children with Down syndrome. And the way that I started off was by approaching a couple of the local elementary schools to celebrate World Down Syndrome Day, which was this every year in March. Mm. And I was very fortunate. You know, I went in and spoke to the principals and the curriculum specialists for the schools, and they were all very open to the idea, very excited, something that they've been doing for the last couple of years all over the United States is they celebrate it with a crazy sock day just mm-hmm. to gain awareness. And it's something that's fun for the kids. And then some of the schools as well did their own little special things around Down syndrome. Like one of the schools set aside some books about Down syndrome in the library. I went into one to read some books that were age appropriate to the kids. So it went over really, really well, which I was really excited about.
Fantastic. Well, we wanted to hear from someone from the front line, along with the PLTI director and your instructor, Tammy. So we really appreciate you giving us a little bit of an idea from a parent's perspective about how this whole thing works and how well the results came out at the end. So congratulations on your graduation. And I will imagine that folks in West Hartford will be hearing a lot more from Brooke Daly now that you have additional tools in the toolbox to both advocate on behalf of your son and the position of many parents with special needs and Down syndrome children in your circle of friends. So thank you so much for being part of the program. Our final guest this morning, Brooke Daly, joined Tammy Exum, the PLTI West Hartford instructor, as well as Dawn Homer Boothiette, representing the Connecticut Council on Children. And Brooke was one of the 270 parents graduating in the latest class of the Parent Leadership Training Institute. So, Brooke, once again, thanks for being on the show. Well, since it's one of our missions to make sure that Connecticut residents know about all the different ways that they can protect and enhance their health, you've been hearing a lot on our program and on our radio stations about Access Health CT. If you aren't sure about what Access Health CT is all about yet, well, we want to tell you it's Connecticut's only official health insurance marketplace offering Connecticut residents and employers a range of quality, affordable health and dental insurance options from several health insurance partners. We're pleased to be joined today by Gina Breton. She is the brand manager for Access Health CT, and we're here to tell you that the deadline for the current open enrollment session ends January 31st. So that's why we're bringing Gina on today to talk a little bit more about what you need to know and what you need and all kinds of other important stuff. So first of all, Gina, I guess the fundamental question is why is it so important for folks in Connecticut that haven't already gotten on the ball with Access Health CT's partners or who are insured through either a spouse or a workplace or other public health program? Why is it important for folks who are uninsured right now to get health insurance?
Well, thank you so much for having me. And it is extremely important because we are in our open enrollment period, and so now is the time to enroll in healthcare coverage. This year, the fine goes up, and so the cost benefit to not being insured, it really jumps, and we want to make sure people are aware if they are uninsured, they face a potential tax penalty of $695 per adult or more, depending on your income. And so take advantage of the open enrollment period that is here through January 31st, 2016, to enroll in healthcare coverage and avoid that fine and know that, you know, if something comes up, you are covered by insurance. And then you can also take advantage of the essential health benefits included in all of our plans, things like going for your annual checkup to an in-network doctor. Those type of services are also covered. So we want to make sure that residents of Connecticut know there's an option to be covered and to continue to build a healthier Connecticut. That is really our mission at Access Health Connecticut.
So for folks of any age who fashion themselves to be, Teflon. They don't get sick. They take great care of themselves. They work out. They've never been sick a day in their life. So certainly this penalty that they're alleging I'm going to have to pay is going to cost me a lot less than it's going to cost me in the aggregate annually to buy my own insurance. Tell us a little bit about some of the fallacies and inaccuracies that are found in that attitude.
Sure. So while we love to hear that people are healthy, it's really that peace of mind because you can't predict what's going to happen. And if you slip or you fall or, you know, your child breaks a bone playing a sport or activity, those are the types of instances where having healthcare coverage makes the difference. And that's the type of thing you can't plan for. And so it is peace of mind knowing that at the very least you are covered in the event of an emergency. You know, we'd love to think we're never going to visit the insurance or the emergency room, right? But when you do, having insurance is extremely important, because we don't want you to have a bad incident and become unhealthy in some way, and then also have to worry about mounting medical debt. And so insurance is a way that you can provide that peace of mind for you and your family, and know that if something does happen, which we never want it to, that you're going to be covered and you're going to be able to go to the emergency room and get the services that you need to get you back on the mend. And you know that there's a portion of that that's going to be covered by insurance, and that's important to sort of alleviate that medical debt that could easily rise, you know, with an occasion that's just unpredictable. Mm.
And people who fashion themselves as unbreakable and who are perhaps have some financial disadvantage that is also playing on that, weighing that decision. Oh, do I face the penalty or potentially pay a lot more to get health insurance here in Connecticut through Access Health CT and your partners? Tell folks about how many times you're hearing stories about people being surprised at how inexpensive it actually is to get that kind of care that provides the necessary peace of mind, as well as that important safety net for catastrophic financial loss if, God forbid, there's a major health problem or accident.
Sure, definitely. Access Health Connecticut is the only place in Connecticut where you can receive financial help to pay for the cost of monthly premiums to your insurance companies, and also potentially, depending on your income, out-of-pocket expenses. And so two-thirds of our customers take advantage of some form of financial help. And so this is the year, as that penalty rises, to really weigh the options. And until you are talking to somebody from Access Health Connecticut, whether that's calling our call center, visiting us online, going into one of our enrollment centers or community enrollment partners, that's really when you'll start to see and understand what potential financial benefits and help and assistance there are for those that, you know, their income, maybe they think it doesn't allow for them to be covered. But really, that's what the Affordable Health Care Act was about, and we are here at Access Health Connecticut to help you understand what your options are and if you qualify for that financial assistance.
Wow. So two-thirds of the folks who've gone through Access Health CT for assistance in getting health insurance are also getting some sort of additional financial assistance.
Right, and that surprises some people, and we want everybody to be aware that they do have options in the healthcare plans. So, you know, come, and this is the time to talk to somebody about what options you and your family have to make sure that you're covered for 2016.
Excellent. Gina Breton's with us. She is a brand manager for Access Health CT, Connecticut's health insurance exchange. We want to let you know that there are many different ways to learn about Access Health CT and to talk to people like Gina, who are very knowledgeable and have all the equipment and patience and attitude to help you. There's a toll-free phone number, 855-654-2428. For enrollment counselors who are there and waiting right now to help you during this open enrollment period that ends January 31st. Of course, their website, accesshealthct.com. If you click on that website, they're not going to come after you. They're not going to capture your URL and badger you with solicitations. But that site does offer both a wealth of information and the mechanism so that you can register with Access Health CT. And then there are our enrollment center locations, right, Gina?
Yes. So our enrollment locations are spread throughout the state to make it as easy as possible for our customers to connect with those that can answer their questions. So we have two enrollment centers. We have one in New Britain, 200 Main Street, one down in New Haven at 55 Church Street. And then we also have community enrollment partners in Norwich, Stamford, East Hartford, Waterbury, and Danbury. So there is someone nearby, and you can visit learn.accesshealthct.com/locations to get a full list of our in-person opportunities and really understand what those hours are and really know when you can go and get help and really talk to somebody about your healthcare options.
Mm. And as we're recording our show today, Gina is at Mohegan Sun at an event. And one of the other places that you might encounter someone from Access Health CT this holiday season is at some kind of a event out there in the community. They've got street teams out there armed with knowledge and information and promotional stuff with the Access Health CT brand on it to make sure that you're aware of the opportunity as well as the important open enrollment period that ends on January 31st. Moving on, let's talk about what folks are going to need to enroll, whether they're doing that walking into one of these help centers or enrollment centers, or if they're calling on the phone or going through the website. What's the file of paperwork and stuff that they're going to need to be able to hit the ground running and get through the registration and application process fairly easily and simply?
Sure. So what you're going to need to enroll would be Social Security information and numbers for each member of your family and or household that is going to be enrolling, any citizenship or immigration information that you have available, your most recent tax returns, any employer information, and any information about your current health care coverage if you have it. And having this information handy when you go and you set up an in-person time to meet, it's really important because that will make sure the enrollment process for you runs as smoothly as possible. So having those documents, again, Social Security information, tax returns, citizenship or immigration information, any employer information, pay stubs, et cetera, as well as any information about coverage you currently have, those documents will help you get through the enrollment process quickly and smoothly working with one of our enrollment counselors.
Great. And so now what if I am an employer or maybe I'm involved with a nonprofit agency or even a clergy person or someone involved with like a neighborhood organization or a grassroots group? And a lot of the folks I come in contact with are not primarily or at all English speaking. Are there resources available for folks? I'm assuming English and Spanish, but how about for all the other variety of folks that might be out there whose employers or clergy members might want to make sure they're aware of this open enrollment period and for folks to get involved?
Sure. So we offer our services and the information on our website, both in English and Spanish. But then also, if you call our call center, you can request one of many languages so that we know, you know, people are comfortable talking in the language that they are most comfortable. And this is a personal thing, buying healthcare coverage. So you can call our call center and you can select from a, you know, wide variety of languages. Or you can visit our website, as you mentioned, accesshealthct.com, and you can click the Learn More section. And there you'll find all of our materials printable in all languages. So English, Portuguese, Polish, Chinese, Korean, it is all there. And if it's not, you can definitely just call our call center and speak with somebody in the language that you are most comfortable so that you know that you have options and that can be explained so that you understand them.
And so taking that to the next step, then I'm an employer. I have a couple of Vietnamese employees. I have a couple of, Colombian employees. I've got a couple, from elsewhere, Polish perhaps.
Sure.
And none of them were born in the United States. So I'm giving them this literature. Maybe they're wondering if they're even eligible.
Sure. So the citizenship and immigration information, just bring it with you, and one of our enrollment counselors will be able to share with you what your options are. So having those documents available will help you understand what options you have. But there are options for those who aren't natural-born citizens of the United States, and that's something that's really important and why we talk to our partners in the radio world, because we need to get the message out that there is help and access to affordable quality health care for all. So we really want to make sure people are looking at their options during this very important open enrollment period, again, through January 31st, 2016.
Mm. Now, I think as the Affordable Care Act kind of rolled out and Access Health CT hit the ground running and has really become a national leader, literally, in terms of a marketplace, such to the point that your original CEO is or was in charge or brought up to Washington to kind of run the national program. One of the things that was the overarching message was that this is going to be a fantastic thing for folks with pre-existing conditions that were getting rejected or denied health care coverage. Are there still people out there with pre-existing conditions who think that they're not eligible for care under Access Health CT?
Well, we certainly hope that we've encouraged everybody with, you know, anyone who's experienced a denial in the past has been able to come on to accesshealthct.com or connect with us on the phone and understand their options. But, you know, Connecticut, as small of a state as it is really big, and there are a lot of residents that still might not be aware. So just because you've been denied coverage in the past, whether that's through a pre-existing condition, there were a number of things that, you know, now that is why the Affordable Care Act is so important, because it opened up the door. And so we really want people, if they haven't connected in some way with Access Health Connecticut, to do so this year as that penalty rises, because there are options. And we want to make sure that, you know, being the third year now, that people feel comfortable enough to talk with us and to really understand that they do have access to affordable, quality healthcare options, no matter what their circumstances are from a health perspective.
Great. Well, in the last few minutes that we have, let's go back to the issue of rates and affordability and things like that. We already talked about the fact that around two-thirds of the folks going through Access Health CT are getting some form of financial assistance in being able to acquire health insurance for themselves or their families. What about folks who may not qualify for any kind of financial assistance? Does that mean that they're tied into one single health plan package through Access Health CT's partners?
That is actually the opposite. So even if you're not taking advantage of the financial assistance that you may qualify for in coming through Access Health Connecticut,
or you don't qualify.
Well, if you don't qualify for financial help, we can definitely still offer you a wide range of quality and affordable health care plan options. So we work with our insurance company partners, ConnectiCare, HealthyCT, Anthem, and United, to offer plans. So regardless of whether you're receiving financial assistance, you have options between all of those carriers, and you can very much see them once you take your application through the process and you are able to submit it. You can sit with one of our enrollment counselors, or you can sit with a certified broker if you're looking for a more specific recommendation. But everybody has options, and they are there whether or not you're receiving that financial assistance. So that is a very important point, and we are so glad that we're talking to you today to make sure that that message gets out.
Great. Now, one of the other things that was happening in the early stages of the national rollout and some of the other state plans was all of this news every hour, every day about how people were calling in and not getting through or holding for, you know, parts of an hour, even more than an hour, to be able to talk to somebody, and calls getting dropped and all this. I've got to imagine that after 3 years, while Access Health CT didn't really seem to have that kind of thing, I think the stigma still kind of resonates with people that may have been listening to a lot more of the news on the national front. So I guess it's important to reassert that Access Health CT has always had a pretty good handle on the IT and technical end of things. But I got to imagine in 3 years, you've come even way further in terms of improving the customer experience when they're calling or clicking in.
Sure. You know, that is exactly where we are at. And of course, there were challenges across the board in years one and two, and we've taken those and we've really created learnings for ourselves now into open enrollment three. And so our call center is open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. But we also have our in-person locations So our enrollment centers are also great resources if you're not a phone person, if you have a more personal question, or maybe you think you're, you know, locked out of your account, for example. Someone at our enrollment center would also be able to help you unlock that password. You can download our mobile app, which is another great feature we have, and log in to your account that way and manage the information that's needed for this year's open enrollment on our mobile app that's available for both iPhones and Androids this year. So we continue to improve how people are able to connect with Access Health Connecticut, and we, you know, we'll continue to improve it forever because our customer experience is very important to us. And so making available lots of different ways that people can engage with us is important. So we have our call center, our in-person locations. We have over 700 certified brokers throughout the state. To find a broker near you who can recommend a plan, you just visit that same website, accesshealthpt.com, and you can click the Get Help button. You can plug in your zip code, and you can find somebody who's right in your own community, in your neighborhood, that can take you through the process too. So it's very important. Customer service continues to be, you know, at the forefront of what we are trying to improve every year.
Fantastic. So key takeaways, toll-free number, 855-654-2428. Walk-in centers or help centers in Danbury, East Hartford, New Haven, New Britain, Norwich, Stamford, and Waterbury. AccessHealthCT.com, the website where you can get started with information or enrollment. And the bottom line, almost a $700 tax penalty beginning this year if you do not have health insurance. Open enrollment ends January 31st, so now is the time. If you've been a holdout, get with AccessHealthCT.com. We want to thank our guest this morning, Gina Breton, brand manager for Access Health CT. Gina, great to talk with you. Happy holidays.
Thanks.
Good luck with open enrollment.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. We really appreciate it.
You've been listening to our award-winning public affairs program, For the People. The opinions expressed on this broadcast represent those of our guests and host and do not necessarily represent the views of Connoisseur Media. If you have a suggestion for a guest, an issue, or a community calendar item relevant to the audiences and communities we serve, you must make your request for consideration in writing via email to me at john.voquette@connoisseurct.com. We do not accept pitches or requests for coverage by phone. Remember, no part of this program may be copied, disseminated, or rebroadcast. Our public file reflecting the full scope of our station's responsiveness to critical issues in the communities we serve can be viewed upon request weekdays during normal business hours at 869 Blue Hills Avenue in Bloomfield. Our theme music is by Rick Miller and Scott's, with original music by Noel Vayette. I'm John Voquette, Director of Public Affairs for Connoisseur Media. Join us again at this time next week for another installment of the award-winning For the People. Or listen to this and other For the People podcasts under the podcast tab at our radio station website or on iTunes. Until this time next week, thanks for listening.